Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Author, a painter, a bullfighter, raconteur, and bon vivant. I'm having him on the show for two reasons. Both of them are related to his bullfighting activities. First, you may have seen it in the news that about 40 people were injured in Navarra, Spain, when a bull leapt from the bull ring over two retaining walls and into the stands. A very frightening event happened there. And then secondly, also in Spain, Barcelona, Spain has banned bullfighting, what was considered their national sport. My next guest is one of America's premier bullfighters. He's trained with arguably the greatest bullfighter ever, Manolete. He's also a spokesperson for the sport here in the United States. Barnaby Conrad was born in San Francisco in 1922. He graduated from Taft Preparatory School in Connecticut. He went to the University of North Carolina. He was the captain of the boxing team there. And then he went on to the University of Mexico in Mexico, where he studied painting and began his career as an amateur bullfighter. When he was injured in the bull ring, he continued his studies at Yale, finally graduating in 1943. He was named the American Vice Consul to Sevilla, Malaga, and Barcelona in Spain from 1943 to 1946. There in Spain, he studied bullfighting with Belmonte, Manolete, and Arruza, three of the greats in the bull ring. He's also the only American to have fought bulls in both Spain, Mexico, and Peru. He's written over 30 books, many of them about bullfighting, books such as Matador, La Fiesta Brava, The Encyclopedia of Bullfighting, and How to Fight a Bull. Welcome to the show, Barnaby Conrad. How are you today?
I'm splendid, thank you.
Well, we're happy to have you here. So let's just jump
to that introduction. I can hardly wait to hear what I've got to say.
Well, you've got a lot to say, so let's get right to it, shall we?
Sure.
What do you make of the more recent bullfighting news that we're getting? Banning bullfighting in Spain, bulls jumping over the fences in the bull ring. What's up with all that?
Well, they're unrelated. Barcelona is a wonderful city. It's kind of the poor man's Paris, and it's not at all Spanish. They speak Catalan. They understand Spanish, but they don't like it. And they don't like Spain. They don't like flamenco. They don't like bullfighting. They think it's modern to dislike bullfighting. Actually, when I was in Spain, I saw Manolete fight, Arruza fight. I fought myself in Barcelona. And there are a lot of ranches and bull that will disappear now. That's one of the sad things. If you eliminate bullfighting, which I'm not against, if you want to also take rodeos and zoos and the trapping of fur-bearing animals for the vanity of the world's women. If you want to take all that out at one fell stroke, I'm all for it because I love animals. Mm. But bullfighting, first of all, people don't realize that bulls live twice as long if they go to the bull ring and are totally unmolested, untortured, untrained. And compared to when they go to the butcher shop at 18 months. But anyway, Barcelona has never been Spanish. It's a separate country, really. A good country and a good city. But they want to be viewed apart from Spain.
Mm. Interesting. We're talking to Barnaby Conrad, everybody. Now, I have to ask you, how does a kid growing up in San Francisco become fascinated with bullfighting, and then what led you to train with some of the best bullfighters in history?
Well, I did, as you said, I went to the University of Mexico to study painting. Painting has always been my great love, and I still do it. And matter of fact, I'm having a show in Carpinteria 2 weeks from now.
Oh, good.
And at the Porch Gallery. But I have studied painting there and saw a bull bullfight, and I thought, gee, that looks like kind of fun. It's so easy because the poor bull just goes at the red cape, and so I jumped down in the ring one day and jumped out almost as quickly when I saw something as big as a greyhound bus with horns heading my way with mayhem in his eyes. I jumped out of the ring, and the bullfighter, the young bullfighter there said, hey, you pretty good considering you don't know what you do. And well, he said, why don't you come out to the ranches and learn? I realized it's really a science. You start with calves, and then the calves get bigger, and then suddenly the calves got big enough that they were bulls, and one of them broke my knee.
Ouch.
So then I came back to America and went to Yale, and since I couldn't get any armed services, it was during the war, I joined the State Department and was sent to Spain. Generally, if you can speak Spanish, they send you to China, but they made a mistake and sent me right to Sevilla, which is the heart of the bullfighting country. And
right.
I met Juan Belmonte and Manolete and Arruza, and they took an interest in the crazy gringo, and I fought with him.
Well, you just alluded to it. Your tenure with the Foreign Service, you got the opportunity to meet Manuel Loreno Rodriguez, who's better known in the bullfighting world as Manolete. Tell us about Manolete. What made him arguably the best bullfighter of all time?
Well, I don't think he was the best bullfighter of all time.
Ah,
I think
okay.
he was one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was the best of his era. But the best bullfighter of all time, well, it's like saying who's a better aviator, Lindbergh or Orville Wright? Juan Belmonte invented modern bullfighting around 1915. People used to jump out of the way of the bull. Belmonte said, I'm not moving. The bull's going to get out of my way. And he did that by skillful maneuvering of his cape. Got gored 55 times.
Ouch.
But he's gone down in history as the greatest bullfighter of all time. So Manolete refined what Belmonte did, you could say. And he was a great bullfighter and a great, great guy. And, of course, he died in the ring. He came out of retirement on a challenge, and I've written about that in my book Matador, and also in a book called The Death of Manolete.
Yes, it is. Now, you knew Manolete personally. What was he like as an individual?
He was wonderful. I saw where Adrian Brody has played him in a movie,
mm-hmm.
and he looked like Adrian Brody, I suppose, but he didn't sound like Adrian Brody. He sounded like Gregory Peck, and had the dignity of Gregory Peck, say. And very dignified, in and out of the ring, and a wonderful fellow, very modest, and of course a multimillionaire. So when he died, I used that phrase in the book, on August 28, 1947, a multimillionaire and a bull killed each other in Linares, Spain, and plunged an entire nation into deep mourning.
Well, I do want to talk about that because an important anniversary is coming up next Friday. It'll be the 63rd anniversary of Manolete's death.
Good for you. You've done your homework.
Hey, that's what I do. So tell me a little bit, how did he die? Give us the story, because it is a very compelling story. And by the way, we're talking to Barnaby Conrad, everybody.
He was 30 years old. He was tired, been gored 11 times. And he wanted to get out. He was very, very rich in Spanish terms. And he was a hero of Mexico, Peru, and, of course, Spain. He was from Cordoba. And he had a girlfriend, wanted to get married, had a ranch, and he was going to retire in Dominguín. It was a young upstart of 21 years old. He was awfully good himself. Challenged him to come out and said, took a newspaper ad saying, Manolete is afraid to meet me. And he said, I'll meet him. He fights nothing but little bulls these days. I'll fight him with the Miuras, the biggest bulls and most dangerous bulls that have killed more people than anybody. And they met, and Manolete managed to outdo Dominguín, but he and the bull killed each other at the end.
Hmm. We're talking to Barnaby Conrad, everybody, who's the author of the book, The Death of Manalete, about the death of the famous bullfighter. If you have any thoughts on bullfighting, pro or con, you can give us a call, 639-0008, 639-0008. We welcome all comments on that. Now, it's interesting to me, Barnaby, that upon Manalete's death, Spanish dictator Generalissimo Franco declared 3 days of national mourning. Why such accolades for just an athlete?
Well, bullfighters are more than athletes in Spain. They don't even report bullfighting on the sports pages. It's always on the art pages, the ballet, wherever ballet or theater appears. And everybody loved him. I mean, it was a terrible thing. A lot of bullfighters get killed, but Manalete was kind of a Joe Louis, Babe Ruth, and Tiger Woods and so forth, all wrapped up in one.
He was definitely a national celebrity as well. We're going to have to break for some commercials here, Barnaby, but I want you to think about this while we're on commercial break. And to me, it's an interesting part of the story that you were just telling. That's the love affair that Manalete had with the actress Lupe Sino. And I want to know a little bit more of the backstory there, and I also want to know what was the fascination at the time between these famous actresses and bullfighters. Don't answer that right now. Answer it after we come back after this short break.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What? Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on Fun Friday. And we're on KKZZ AM 1400. That's Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. My very special guest is author, raconteur, and bullfighter, Barnaby Conrad. He's the author of the book, The Death of Manalete. And we're talking about bullfighting in general, because there have been some bullfighting-related stories in the news these past 10 days. And I wanted to get it out into the public airwaves to talk about bullfighting. So if you have some comments, pro or con, on bullfighting, you can always call us, 639-0008, 639-0008. Now, Barnaby, before we went away to the commercial break, I was asking you to tell us a little bit of the backstory about Manalete's love affair with the actress Lupe Sino. And I also want to know a little bit, what was the fascination between actresses and matadors at that time?
Well, in Spain, for example, they didn't really have great actors in those days the way we do in America, who are kind of our stars in the tabloids. But they had matadors. And as Artie Shaw once said to me, they go for whoever's in the Klieg light. And Lupe Sino, her real name was Antonita Bronchalo, was a cute, chubby, very pretty, but kind of softic girl. I only met her once. She and Manalete came to my house in Lima, Peru, where he was a god. In fact, when I said that he was coming to my house for a cocktail party, they put extra police out in front of my house because he was a god. And she was very cute, very pretty, but everyone said that she was a gold digger and so forth. And she tried to get a deathbed ceremony, but his manager and best friend wouldn't allow her in the room, and he didn't ask for her. Anyway, that's the end of that story.
And he didn't ask for her? I thought the way the movie portrays it, he does ask for her at the end, and the manager doesn't allow it. So in real life, he did not ask for her to be there.
Oh, you've seen the movie?
I've seen bits and pieces of it, yes.
I hear it's terrible. I'm trying to get it. I'm trying to get it because it looks so good, and they did everything. Sounded right. Of course, they swiped most of my book, but that's all right. As long as it's a total failure, that pleases me.
Well, we're talking about the movie Manalete, starring Adrian Brody and Penelope Cruz, and it was released in Europe. No bulls were harmed in the making of that movie. All the bulls were CGI. They were computer-generated bulls, but it was a very interesting story. Never did make it here to the United States, however.
No.
Yeah.
No, and I hear we've got a terrible review in Variety. And the guy was very sympathetic to Manalete. He just said it didn't do him justice to show why he was so great and so forth.
Mm.
But anyway.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about Manalete. I mean, one could argue that Manalete was truly the first Hispanic superstar. He was known on three continents. He was a millionaire bullfighter. Why is there so little known about Manalete these days?
Well, first of all, I happened to be there during the war, and there were very few Americans there and very few writers. I was the first person to write about him, and that's one of probably the only American that whose house he ever came to. This was the wrong time for him to be famous in America, and bullfighting was kind of big in those days. Lana Turner and John Wayne and everybody always used to be at the bullfights in Tijuana. And bullfighting was kind of big those days. And my book, Matador, became a $3 million copies bestseller.
Wow.
Because of the climate then, but now it's gone out of fashion. That's okay. I don't write about bullfighting anymore. I've written 7 books on bullfighting. That's enough.
That's enough for any subject. We're talking to Barnaby Conrad, everybody, author of the book, The Death of Manalete. Let's get more current. Let's get more contemporary. Like I said at the setup at the top of the hour, we were talking about a bull that jumped out of the bull ring over 2 retaining walls, landing in the stands, injuring 40 people in Spain.
Yeah,
very uncommon.
When we spoke before, I hadn't seen it, but I saw it yesterday.
Mm.
And that's not quite as uncommon as it sounds. I was in Spain 20 years ago with my wife, and we were in the hotel lobby, and someone said, "There's Orson Welles. Would you like to meet him?" And I said, "Oh, my goodness, yes." And because I was a great admirer of his. And they took me over and introduced me to Orson Welles, and I wanted to talk to him about Magnificent Ambersons and Citizen Kane and everything, and he wanted to talk about bullfighting. And he knew a great deal about bullfighting. He said he actually tried bullfighting when he was a teenager, 18 or 19, and he knew a lot about bullfighting. And he said, "Come out for lunch tomorrow." He had a little house outside of Malaga just for about a month or so. He was there for the bullfight. And we had a wonderful lunch, and then we went to the bullfight in Malaga, and we were in the front row, and I saw something and this is the truth. It sounds like I'm making it up, but I've seen a lot of things happen in a bull ring, but I'd never seen this before. The bull comes out of the torillo, doesn't pay any attention to the banderilleros or flashing their capes, runs straight across the ring and jumps into our laps. I'm sitting next to Orson. My wife's on the other side of Orson. And the bull jumped over the barrera. 2,000 pounds of a bull jumping over the barrera right into here. And it lit up with its front feet on either side of Orson, looking Orson right in the face with the horns on either side. And Orson reared back, and Mary and I took our feet and shoved the bull back into the ring. And actually, that should be the end of the story, but the bull fell into the callejon and got up, killed the man in the ring.
Oh, my.
But that's another story.
Yeah, wow. It just goes to show you everybody's a critic when it comes to Orson Welles movies, doesn't it? Well, let's talk about the bulls themselves, shall we?
They came to him the next day. The newspaper in Malaga said, why did the bull kill that man in the ring? Why didn't it kill you, Mr. Welles? And he said, "A bull does not kill his brother."
Good one. I like that. Well, let's dive in a little deeper on the bulls themselves. There are special bulls that are bred for bull fighting. And in particular, there's one strain or one variety of bulls, the Marias. Am I not pronouncing it?
Miuras.
Tell us about that. Tell us about how bulls are treated in Spain.
Well, at 18 months, they're examined and they come into the ring, and the breeder of the bulls, because they're just like breeders of racehorses. I mean, these are not ordinary bulls. There's they look like an ordinary bull, I suppose, except they don't really. But it's like a wolf and a German shepherd. One's domesticated, the other's a wild animal. These are wild animals. And they'll kill anything that moves. They don't know why. It's like a rattlesnake. They've been bred for 150, 200 years at least in Spain for one purpose, to try to kill men. And so they, at 18 months, it's decided whether they to go to the bull ring or to the slaughterhouse. If they go to the bull ring, they're put to pasture for 4 to 5 years. They never see a dismounted man. They're unmolested for wonderful 4 or 5 years. It's a hell of a lot better than going to McDonald's.
Very true.
I would think if I were a bull.
Very true.
And then they go into a bull ring for 20 hot blooded minutes, where it's cruel. Of course it's cruel. You can't kill an animal without being cruel. But your hamburgers didn't die of old age. And the only people I listen to that are critical of bullfighting are the vegetarians.
Well, now, that brings up the next question. We're talking to Barnaby Conrad, everybody, on the subject of bullfighting, because there have been so many bull-related incidents in the news recently. And some critics would say that bullfighting, it's cruel, it's a blood sport, it should be banned, just like it was banned in Barcelona. What do you say to those critics?
I'd say it's fine, but as I said, I want to take rodeos out in America. Come on. You think the bucking bulls like to be bucked every week on television and rodeos, and the bucking horses, the more blood the guy gets out of his spurs, the better the ride. And I want to take zoos out. I think zoos are terrible, especially roadside zoos, little zoos, even big zoos. How would you like to be a tiger, even in a big enclosure where you don't see anything new? You don't get to see a female tiger, you don't get to kill a gazelle or something. I mean, I think it's terribly cruel.
We're talking to Barnaby Conrad, everybody, who is the author of the book, The Death of Manalete. We're talking about bullfighting. Interestingly enough to me, Barnaby, is that the center of the sport of bullfighting has shifted over the last few years. And it may surprise some listeners as to where the new center of bullfighting is in the world today. Can you mind telling us where that has moved to?
I'll have to listen to you.
Oh, okay. I'm leading you down a path that just recently was in the last 2 or 3 years that the center of bullfighting moved from Spain to southern France. There's more bullfighting and more bullfighting information.
Oh, that's true. And, you know, the French are so wonderful. It's against the law to fight bulls in France, but they pay 5,000 francs and a fine for each fight. And the bullfight goes on. And they kill the bulls. Not like Portugal, where they don't kill the bulls. In Portugal, they're really hypocrites, because they fight the bull, but they don't kill it in the ring. They take it out in the corrals and hit it with a baseball bat.
Oh, so in the end, the bull does die. It just dies by different means.
It just dies in the corral instead of the man risking his life the way Manalete risked his life and lost his life by killing. That's the moment of truth, as they call it, because you go over that right horn with a sword, and you've got a place to hit that's about as big as a 50-cent piece between the shoulder blades. And if you don't hit that, and you have to risk your life to hit that place, and if you don't hit it, well, you're going to die like Manalete.
Now, Barnaby Conrad, tell us, what is the romance, what is the allure, what is the sport in bullfighting itself? Because a lot of Americans listening to the sound of our voice don't know what the real nuances of the sport are.
Well, if they could sit next to a knowledgeable Spaniard or a Mexican, it might make a difference. But to see what goes on, because it all looks confusing and very traumatic, I think, to see your first bullfight. And I think they just don't know the science that's involved. These kids start when they're 10 or 11 to learn about a... You get out there in front of a bull, the bull will go at you. I don't care what you do. It'll go at you and kill you. You have to learn of the bull's terrain. You have to learn where to stand. You have to see where the bull's looking. And you got to make it go at the cape, because the bull, you have to make that bull go exactly where it doesn't want to go. It wants to go into your body and kill you. And you have other ideas, and you've got to make the bull be convinced that, oh, it should charge at that empty. They're colorblind. It has nothing to do with red cape. But you got to make it go, because it's moving more than your feet are. If your feet are jumping around, it's going to go at your feet. So don't move your feet.
And the movement, the lack of movement in the feet, was actually one of the things that Manalete brought to the sport, didn't
no,
it?
No, Belmonte.
Belmonte did. Belmonte. My mistake.
And Manalete refined it. Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Well, Barnaby Conrad, thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. It's been a delight. I let you go on and get on with your weekend.
And I've got a new book coming out in November.
What's it titled?
Well, it has no bulls in it. It's called The Second Life of John Wilkes Booth. And I think it's going to be a big novel.
The Second Life of John Wilkes Booth. Well, let's take a second and talk about that. Is this a historical novel? Is this fact or fiction?
Well, it's based on John Wilkes Booth, obviously.
Mm.
But it's based on the fact that he didn't die in that barn in Virginia, that he escaped and goes west, and it's what happens to him in the following years.
Well, now, how did you come up with that idea, Barnaby?
I worked for Sinclair Lewis, our first Nobel Prize winner in literature, in 1947, and he thought this idea up, told me in 10 minutes this story idea, and I said, Mr. Lewis, you got to write that book. And he said, I got a better idea, you write it. And so finally I did, after 56 years or whatever it's been.
Oh, that is great. That is great. And so we'll look for that book to come out this November?
Right. Second Life of John Wilkes Booth.
Second Life of John Wilkes Booth. Thank you, Barnaby Conrad,
Thank
for being
you,
our guest. It's been a delight.
Thank you, Bill.
Wow. And that brings us to the end of another show. You've been listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Join us every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Coming up next is Living Your Inspired Life with Susan Burrell. We end each show by saying, go out and be the change you want to see in the world. Remember, the leaders of the past didn't hold with today's conventions, and neither will the leaders of tomorrow.